Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning and greetings to those who join us online. We continue our this morning with our series on Jabez Prayer, and our church's reading from Trinity 18 reminds us in James chapter 5 that it is our duty and responsibility to pray for our brothers in Christ.
Today's reading is taken from the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 33, starting at verse 12. Moses and the glory of the Lord. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Susan. So today we continue that series, Courageous Prayer, looking at the character of Jabez and how that can play out into our lives with that courageous prayer that he prayed. We've looked at the fact that through the scriptures, lots of characters, lots of people who are our favourites, a bit like David, who is Ricardo's favourite character, there are often moments in those stories where they needed God to step in. They needed to pray a bold and courageous moment beyond themselves to see God in their midst. The same God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the God who stepped in for them is the God who steps in for us today. We've saw that as we pray this prayer, it's more than just daily bread or a cup of water. It's life-changing in the normal everydayness of life. And we saw a couple of weeks ago that God's bounty is really only limited by us, by our thinking. We can't come to the end of God's grace, of his love, or of his forgiveness. We can't come to the end of God's blessing. He's a God whose nature is to bless, desires to bless us, to reach out his hand towards us, because his resources are eternal. So we can't limit them with our own earthly perspective. And last week we thought about that sense of enlarge my territory. The more we give away, the more we receive. The more weakness that we show, the stronger that we get. The lower we become, the more he raises us up. That doesn't make sense to the world around us. But yet, standing in God's promises, trusting the God that we trust, it does make sense that whenever we're weak, we are strong in him. And whenever we lower ourselves down, he will exalt us and raise us up. But the more we give away, the more we receive from him, because we create space in our lives to do that. We need, as we were challenged last week, to look for the opportunities to see God at work in our lives and through us. And so before we look at this part of the prayer today, let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you are present with us. And as we explore what it means to pray that prayer, that your presence would be with us, that your hand would be upon us, God, that your Spirit would inspire us, direct us, challenge, convict us today. That the truth of your word will be revealed by your Spirit. Not my words, but yours, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, prayer of Jabez says, O Lord, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I be free from pain. And God granted his request. The question I want to start with today is this. Have you ever found yourself wanting God's presence? I would imagine all of us have found ourselves in that place at some stage. The desire to have God's presence with us, for us, upon us, within, without us, around us, whatever way we want to describe that. We have found ourselves in situations, in seasons of life, where we have desired God's presence to be with us. There's a hymn that says, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can of peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour, I come to thee. Oh, I need thee, every hour. There's something in the hymn writer, as they put that together, that understanding, that knowledge, that they cannot do life without God's presence. God's presence can be a really reassuring thing. But yet, we can also feel sometimes that maybe our presence is not with us, that he seems to be void or vacant or distant rather than close and intimate. And often in those moments, we can lead us to feeling moments of abandonment or loss away from God, yet these are feelings. We stand on the promises that God is with us, whether we feel it or not. And I find myself in that situation where there's times where I've said, God, where are you? I don't feel you the way I have felt you before. Are you there? But yet then I find myself going, I stand on the promises that God is present with us, that his promises are that he would never leave us nor forsake us, that one who is born into his family, renewed by his Spirit, that his Holy Spirit, part of himself, lives within us, means that he is present with us, and that sometimes my feelings allow me to trick my brain, my mind, into thinking that he is not there, even when he is there. And so in one sense, how do we deal with all of that? Maybe we'll come to that a little bit later on today. Moses, as we Susan read for us, the story of Moses in Exodus 33. Let me give you a little bit of a background to where we are in the story of Moses. Moses, this frail human, that's how he felt. One who felt that he could not speak clearly, that he didn't have all the words, called by God to go and ask Pharaoh, the superpower of the day, to release God's people from slavery. We know that story, and Moses led God's people out of Egypt into the wilderness, and they began to wander for 40 years. It wasn't supposed to take that long. Supposed to be a lot of a shorter journey. But people being people, they erred and strayed in their wicked ways, would be a way that we would put it in our liturgy. They erred and strayed in their wicked ways. And so they wandered longer than what they should have. As they wandered longer, they began to grumble and complain that Moses had taken them from a place of security and safety, where at least, even though they were under pressure, even though they were in slavery, they had food on the table and a roof over their head, and now they're wandering in the wilderness in freedom. And so that grumbling and that complaint, and Moses left that camp and he went up to a place called Mount Sinai to seek God's face, to seek God's presence, to spend time with God. We know the story. Moses met with God there. God revealed to him the Ten Commandments, and Moses carried the Ten Commandments down to the Israelites. Moses returns to the camp of the Israelites, and what does he find? He's been away for a couple of days, and what does he find? He finds that the Israelites now have melted all of the gold that they took from the Egyptians whenever they left Egypt, because remember, the Egyptians gave them everything that they had to get rid of them. They melted it all down. They've made this big golden calf that they're now worshipping. They're bowing down to it in the middle of the wilderness. They have forsaken. They have erred and strayed in their wicked ways away from the God who released them from slavery. Moses is raging. Moses smashes the golden calf. And then Moses goes to seek God's face again. And that's where we join this story. That's where we join the account of Moses. Actually, at the start of chapter 33, it says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivitites, the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you're a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way." There's a moment where God seems to have got fed up with his people. Absolutely fed up with their ways. And he says, "I am a faithful God." I'll paraphrase that. I'm a faithful God, so I'll give you what I promised, the land flowing with milk and honey. But I'm afraid if I go with you, I'm going to get very cross with you because you don't seem to learn from your mistakes. So head on up and claim the promise that I give to you, because I'm a faithful God. But Moses, you do it with your people on your own. We often see Moses as a brave and fearless man. But this Exodus story probably tells us a slightly different part of that story or the character of Moses. We see tenacity and determination. We see a moment where Moses is so afraid that God would leave him and not be with him that he prays three very bold things. Show me your way. Send me your presence. And show me your glory. Moses prays, "Show me your ways," in verse 12 of chapter 23. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Moses is afraid that God's presence is going to leave him, and so he says, "God, please show me your purposes in the midst of all of this. Show me what you have for me in the midst of all of this. Show me your way, O Lord." That's similar to Jabez praying, "Bless me with what you know best for me, Lord." Moses is saying, "God, I recognize that we've got this wrong. So what's right? Show me your way, O Lord." And then he prays, "Send me your presence," verse 14. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" Moses recognizes that God's presence with him, and ultimately with you and I, is what distinguishes us from everyone else. Because as the scriptures say, "He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world." As the scriptures say, "You are a new creation, therefore you are now no longer in condemnation." Because we are different, because we carry God's presence in us, within us, and around us. And that's what marks us as being different. And so we are distinctive to a world that wants to dismiss God. The same as the Israelites were distinctive in a world that worshipped a plethora of other gods. And Moses recognized that by saying, show me your purpose, show me your way, O Lord. Send your presence. I'm not going, and he actually said that, I'm not going anywhere if you're not going with me, God. That's a bold prayer. I'm not going anywhere if you don't go with me, God. I'm staying here until I feel your presence and know that you are there. Tenacity and determination. And then he prayed, show me your glory. Verse 17 says, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, compassion on whom I have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. And there's a place where you may stand in a rock. When the glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I'll remove my hand and you'll see my back, but my face must not be seen. You know that little phrase, in the cleft of the rock? That's where we get that phrase from. The sense that God is saying to Moses, if you put your face into this crack in the rock, you're exposing your most vulnerable part, which is your back. And you can't see what's happening around you. But I'm there. And even though you don't see me, and maybe even though you don't feel me, I've got your back. Now, that's a powerful truth to stand on. That's a powerful promise to stand on. So show me your way, O Lord. Send me your presence, O Lord. And show me your glory, O Lord. Praying for God's presence is more than words. It's more even than a nice sentiment, because we can pray it as a nice sentiment. We can pray it or say as we're believing someone, I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying that the Lord is with you. I'll be praying that you know the Lord or that you feel the Lord today. We can pray it sometimes as a nice sentiment, but it's so much more than that. It's absolutely huge, and it opens a bucket load of opportunities and an adventure with God whenever we actually say, show me your glory. Send me your presence. And note in that passage from Moses, in verse 21, it says, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. My glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand. And what did Jabez pray? Let your hand be with me. Praying for God's presence is more than words or just a nice sentiment. Praying for God's presence is knowing and relying on his promises. Where his promises, where his presence is, there the fullness of his measure rests. And where the fullness of his measure rests, there is nothing lacking. Where God's presence is, there the fullness of his measure rests. And where the fullness of God's measure rests, there is nothing lacking. I know that challenges me sometimes, because I feel that he's not there. Then I begin to doubt, is it possible? Then I begin to doubt, will his hand be with me? Then I begin to doubt. But yet I can stand in the promises, knowing that he is completely powerful, knowing that he is all purposeful, knowing that he is knowing all things, knowing that his purposes and will for me are better than I could will for myself. And then I know that the fullness of his measure dwells, and that there is nothing lacking if only I would reach out and stand on his promises. At this point in the prayer of Jabez, he has cried out to the Lord. He has sought God's blessing. He's asked for more opportunities. He's at the point of no return. if we're crying out to God, if we're seeking his blessing, if we're asking for more opportunities, that's the point of no return whenever God actually gives us those opportunities and says, here's my presence. Because our vision should be so large that it is doomed to failure if God does not step in. Our vision should be so large that it is doomed to failure if God does not step in. Otherwise, it's just something that I can do. It's me writing a to-do list. It's me writing a lovely little phrase or a thinking of an idea or a concept, knowing that I can achieve it and then going out to achieve it and patting myself on the back and saying, isn't that good? But to dream big, to see a vision that is so large that it's completely doomed to failure unless God steps in, is something completely different. Feeling out of our depth probably should be a really normal thing for a Christian. Sometimes we see that as abnormal. Sometimes we think there's something wrong with us because we'd be feeling okay and happy and glorious and reassured all of the time. Feeling that you can't do it is okay. Because in those moments you will rely on the promises and seek that the Lord's presence goes with you. Bruce Wilkinson, an author, once said this: dependence upon God makes heroes of ordinary people, like Jabez, and you, and me. Do you ever define yourself as a hero? Dependence on God makes heroes of ordinary people like Jabez and you and me. What does he mean by that? I think what he means by that is that we begin to realize that we can do it. If we think we're a hero in ourselves, we'll rush into every situation and we'll try to solve it and make sure that it's sorted. That's what heroes do. They run into the burning building head first, not thinking about their own safety. If we run into the reliance and dependence on God, then we become a hero because it's no longer about me. It's all about him. I have two daughters. The oldest one, I think a meerkat. The oldest one, whenever she was much, much younger, we were in Port Stewart. And if you know Port Stewart, the promenade finishes at one end up beside the convent. There's a big play park. Loads of climbing frames on it. And Rebecca had got, now bear in mind, she was only about 2.5. And her mother was going, go and get her. And I was going, no, no, she'll be okay. And her mother was going, go and get her. She's going to fall. And I was going, no, she'll be okay. She needs to learn. Let her climb. No, 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 no. She might fall. She'll be okay. At which point then Rebecca turned around halfway up this big climbing frame and said, Daddy, can you come and get me? I got up off that we were only sitting very close to it. I got up, walked across and said, yes, and before I finished the sentence, yes, I'm here, I got, yes, Rebecca had let go of the climbing frame and lunged into the air, waiting for me to catch her. But there was the childlike faith, fully dependent on her father, that his presence would be exactly where it was needed. And sometimes we wonder why Jesus tells us that we need to become more like children. Because as we grow older and do our adulting stuff, that gets knocked out of us a little bit. And so sometimes does that childlike dependence on God. The one that just goes, I know he's there. Because God's presence has been with God's people since the dawn of time. Think about Moses, Daniel, David, Gideon, the early church, Paul, Peter. God's presence is with them all, and his presence is with us now. So as we pray this week, may your hand be with me, O Lord. We're praying for dependence on God and that equals power in our weaknesses. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, O Lord, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I'll be free from pain. And God granted his request. Let's pray together. Lord, so remind us of your presence today, that it becomes an unmistakable reality in each of our lives. Teach us dependence upon you, that we might fling our arms in the air and fall wildly, courageously, spontaneously into your arms. And as we set our face to what this week might look like, as we put our face into the cleft of that rock, may we know that your hand is upon us. As we become vulnerable to you, may we know that you have got our back. In the precious, perfect, and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together as we close. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so as you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the blessing and presence of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go with each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.